Thank you all for coming today. Good afternoon. My name is Jason Lee, and I am with Purdue University. And this afternoon, I'd like to have a discussion on how us at Purdue have been using precision technologies to conduct large-scale on-farm research. And before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge two gentlemen, Dr. Jim Camberato and Dr. Robert Nielsen, professors at Purdue who have really been conducting this on-farm research for the last 10 years, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of it for the last four. So there's a lot of benefits that come with conducting this large-scale on-farm research, and I've highlighted four of the ones that I find very important. The first is that it conducts applied research in an environment that's closely related to a farmer's. And what that does is it can really improve the applicability of the data to deliver some sound agronomic results. Another thing it can help with is gather large data sets that can encompass a wide range of growing environments, management practices, different hybrids, etc. And then if we use all of these precision technologies, it can also help streamline the process that does not interfere with the farmer's normal operations. And last but not least, it can also help build the relationship between the researcher and the farmer, which I find very important, especially from an extension standpoint, when you can present data that a farmer is accustomed to that would be applicable in his own scenario. It can really speak volumes. In general, we find that there are three major requirements to conduct large-scale on-farm research. They are mapping and GIS software programs, machinery equipped with variable rate controls, and then also combines that are equipped with GPS-enabled yield monitors. And throughout the duration of this presentation, I'll talk about each one of those individually. So for the first one, it's the mapping and the GIS software programs. And this is when we're sitting in our offices during the wintertime and we're creating these prescriptions. And what that does is it allows the researcher to predetermine areas in the field where he wants to set these treatments. Those prescription maps are created in the GIS software programs, and then they can be exported to the tractor monitor, which allows us to change our treatment rates on the go. And I'll show you how we build these prescription maps in the slides to follow. Typically, in an on-farm research experimental design, we'd have something that looks like this, a randomized complete block design where we would have three replications, and then within each one of those replications, we might have different treatments, such as different seeding rates or different nitrogen rates, for example. And by no means is this the only experimental design that we can build with prescriptions. It's just one of the more simpler ones, and one that I'll be showing today. And for the sake of time, I'm going to skip over a few of these other ones. And so the idea of the prescription map making in the software programs is going from that table format to a more a plot map that the tractor will be able to understand. And that's what we have here. This is an example from one of our southern research farms. This is about a 50 to 80 acre field. And it'd be an example of how we of the product that we create with the prescriptions. The different colors would be the different replications, and then within each one of those different colored reps, we would have our different treatments. And so how do we create this plot map? Well, it starts with the field boundary, which we get from the farmer, and then also the AB line. And that AB line is that red line that you see there. If you're not familiar, the AB line is the fixed GPS line in the field that allows our tractor to drive straight on that line. So if we zoom into the AB line, and I want you to focus, if I can get the cursor working here, there we go. If you focus on that AB line, the bottom line is just the field edge for this particular example. If we know where that AB line is, then we know exactly where that tractor's driving down the middle, or down that plot, or excuse me, down the field. And so if we have a 12-row planter, for example, we know exactly where the middle of that 12-row planter pass is. And that's really important when it comes to building these prescriptions because we essentially then start using these polygons and we center it on that AB line. And so each one of these polygons then would represent 12 rows in the cornfield if we had a 12-row planter, for instance. And then so we just build all these polygons with the same exact dimensions. And so each one of those polygons then are geo-referenced, and they would represent 12 rows in the cornfield. And then after that, it's simple. We just sit there, and we designate a different treatment for each one of those different polygons. For example, in that purple polygon, we could assign it 112,000 seeds per hectare. And then maybe that yellow polygon, we'd want to assign that 79,000 seeds per hectare, and then so on and so forth with the different color treatments. And then so as the farmer is going through that field, if he's planting in that purple polygon, the planter then knows to plant at that treatment rate, versus if he's planting in that polygon, the planter then knows to switch over to 79,000 seeds per hectare. And the same concept would apply if we wanted to change our nitrogen rates or our different starter fertilizer rates. It's a similar concept. And since we can build these prescriptions, it really allows us to get pretty creative and to really conduct a large-scale research project. For example, this particular field here is in southern Indiana. It's a 400-acre research field. That's just one of the benefits that this that the GIS software programs provides. We use a 32-row planter, and we are looking at different row spacings and then different optimum planting populations. So that is one of the benefits of this precision technologies. So now that we've created the prescription, the next thing to complement that is machinery that's equipped with variable rate controls. So the prescriptions tell us where in the field we want to put the different treatments, and now it's up to the variable rate controls, such as the Rosson drive on the planter or a variable rate control valve on a side dress applicator, to change the rates automatically. And this is a pretty important part of the process for the farmer in particular, because he doesn't ever have to leave his tractor seat, because the rates are going to change on the go, versus in the olden days where you have to get out, change the sprockets, or change the dial on the pump. So really, this is the important part with these variable rate controls that allow us to not intervene with his normal field operations, and which really makes the farmer more willing to do this type of research. The last required piece here, the puzzle, is the GPS-enabled yield monitors. And this is where we're collecting the yield data. If you're not familiar with how a yield monitor works, I'll just briefly talk about that. Essentially what it's doing is, as the grain is flowing through the combine, that grain is hitting an impact sensor, and that impact sensor sends electrical signals to the monitor to estimate grain flow rates, which then can be calculated into bushels per acre. And so, for example, here we have the combine driving through the field, and it's leaving a stream of data points. And each one of those data points then is assigned a specific coordinate location assigned by the DGPS receiver on the combine. And so then what we're left with is a yield map that looks something like this. Each one of these lines of yield points then would represent one of the plots. And then since we created that prescription earlier, we can take that plot map and underlay it on that yield data. And so I've made the yield data points black here for your visual aid. And then we could intersect that. So we can assign each one of those yield points then its respective plot number, its respective rep, and then its respective treatment. And then from there, it's simple. We just export that data to an Excel file, and then we can start averaging these strips of yield points into a single absolute average yield number. And then we can start comparing the treatment means. We have a couple other harvest procedures that we go through as well. Yield monitor calibration is really important. We typically do 4 to 6 calibration loads. And then we also harvest the plot middles. So if we have a 12-row plot, we would harvest the 6 rows. And that's why you noticed with the couple of the previous pictures why the yield points were exactly in the middle of each polygon. That's because we harvest the row middles. And then the other piece of the puzzle I'll talk about here with the benefits of the yield monitor is how we can go in and clean the yield data, because that's also important as well. So example here, I have that yield map. And you'll notice that on each end of the plots, there's a bunch of red data points. Those are unrepresentative of the treatments. And what likely happened was, as the farmer was approaching the end of that plot, he probably didn't pick his combine header up soon enough. And so he was collecting a bunch of data when there was no grain flowing through the combine. So we get a bunch of 0 points. And so we need to take those out of there. And that with this type of data set and with the programs, we can easily do that. Another clean scenario is with the yield monitors, there's always glitches in the data, outliers, if you will. And so we go in and we take out any yield points that are 2 times the standard deviation above and below the mean. And if you squint your eyes just right, you can see a bunch of the blue yield points, those would be those outliers, and those are the glitches that we need to take out. The third scenario is there's no perfect field out there. They always have wet holes, gullies, etc. Those are also unrepresentative of a treatment. And so we can also easily clean that yield data out. That way we're just left with the yield points that are representative of a treatment. In the last yield clean scenario I'll show you here, I've clipped out everything in this field except for just one plot. And this is actually a coverage map of a nitrogen applicator. It collects the data in the same way as a yield monitor, but instead of leaving the data in points, it leaves them into small little polygons. This is a nitrogen rate study. Our target nitrogen rate was probably like 200 units of N. But as you can see, with the green polygons, we were applying the correct rate. But all of a sudden, they turned red. It probably dropped like 100 pounds of N, so we were no longer applying the correct treatment. Target treatment, and that's an issue. So when we overlay the yield data on top of that, all of those yield points that are on top of the red polygons are not representative of our target treatment. And so we can easily remove those, and what we're left with are yield points then that are only associated with the target treatment that we wanted. So, in conclusion, when we use all of these precision technologies, it can really come together and we can build really large data sets. And this is really the point that I want to drive home. To date, we've conducted 20 different starter fertilizer and biological trials, 90 seeding rate trials, and 260 nitrogen rate trials. And with a large data set like this, we can really start making some good agronomic recommendations. We can make recommendations on the state level. For example, out of those 90 seeding rate trials, maybe the optimum planting population out of all of those was 32,000 plants per acre was the optimum. But we can also start breaking it down into more specific recommendations. For example, out of those 90, maybe 20 of them were in a droughty conditions or a sandy environment. So maybe with those 20, the optimum recommendation would be lower. And then when we start to get a big data set like 260 nitrogen rate trials, we can really start breaking the recommendations up into different geographical zones of the state. For example, maybe in the northwest region of Indiana has a different optimum nitrogen rate than the southeast region of Indiana, for example. And so once again, we can use all of these precision technologies, the prescription map making, the yield monitors, and the variable rate controls, to find cooperating farmers, and a lot of them, to conduct a lot of research trials to help us start making these recommendations. And we're now starting to focus on more in-field specific recommendations, and this is the last point I want to drive home. With the large data sets, we can really capture the spatial variability into a field. And this is what we're starting to work on now, where we can take the yield data and break it down to historical, we can break the yield data down based off of historical yield data, soil type, soil physical properties. And so we're starting to answer new questions now, like how do plant population responses differ within a field? And since we have so much of this data and so many fields, we can really pretty effectively start answering these questions, hopefully. And that's kind of the direction that we're moving forward with. And I think I'm almost out of time. But with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. Right. You know, I don't have an exact answer for you, but it really depends on the type of treatments that you're after. You know, for example, like a seeding rate study, it's probably not that critical because the differences between the treatments as far as like vegetation, for example, would not affect the other treatments. So there you probably don't need a buffer. But like a nitrogen study, for example, yeah, you really do probably need that buffer zone. But as far as do you need four rows or six rows, you know, I'm not sure if anyone's ever looked at that. I certainly haven't, so I can't speak for that. But yeah, it's definitely treatment dependent.
Okay.
Yeah.
With all the trials you've conducted, have you ever put a trial back onto the same field next year?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done a lot of trials where we've gone back on the same year. Not exact, well, see, a lot of times you're in a corn soybean rotation, so it might be, you know, the next cropping year of that particular crop.
Okay, so if you do that, then you have, putting treatments out there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle the legacy effects of, say, something like nitrogen radio, where you have different nitrogen, things and treatments, and how do you handle that legacy variability?
Sure, yeah. Typically, we'll put the we'll use the same plot map. So where we had a zero nitrogen rate, we would probably put the zero nitrogen rate back in that same exact area. Yeah, that's a good question. Okay.
Any other questions? If not, I'd like to thank all the speakers here.